Okay. Again, welcome to Word of God Church and Julia C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries Sunday Worship Service. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and I welcome you in that spirit. Deaconess Freeman, if you would now lead us in prayer, we will get started.
Please turn to Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19. I'm reading from the Message Bible.
Amen.
Amen. We have it.
Chapter 18, verse 18.
Amen. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth, no in heaven. When you say to one another, it's eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action.
Well,
when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure I'll be there. Father, we come together this morning to worship you in fellowship, a visible expression of our being one in the same faith. Father, thank you for being our good shepherd.
Thank you,
for leading us, loving us, giving up your life so that we may be restored an intimate, everlasting fellowship with you, our Creator. Because you are our shepherd, our protector, our defender, we desire to share some of our needs with you. Thank you, Father, for listening to each of our hearts as we silently share our most private and our most personal needs with
well,
you. For you know our every thought, our every desire, and our every emotion. You know, Father, when we are distracted, are disinterested in our Christian life, and just going through the motions of it, or if we are really, really harboring grudges, doubts, malice, lust, impatience, or greed. Father, Hebrews 4:13 tells us that it is impossible to hide anything from you.
Well,
Lord, we pray for a loving attitude when we approach you. Thank you for listening to whatever we bring before you, and for always considering our heart and our reasoning and your response to our prayers. Lord, you see the feelings we have toward others, the patience and concern that we have toward our church family, the love we have for those seeking prayer for spiritual and physical healing, and the sadness of this pathetic world. You see when we are being self-centered and pig-headed, when we want things that is contrary to your word, and when we ignore the needs of others. Help us, Lord, to do what is righteous.
Please.
Lord, we don't want you to shake your head in shame when we make excuses for not doing what we know to be unrighteous. Father, when we are unable to voice our prayers, our thoughts and words, let us remember Romans 8:26-27. It tells us that the moment we get tired in the waiting, your Holy Spirit is right along beside us, helping us along. If we don't know what or how to say or how to pray, it doesn't matter. For the Holy Spirit does our praying in us and for us, making out of our worthless signs and our aching groans. Your Holy Spirit knows us far better than we know ourselves, know our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. We thank you for the gift of Bishop Cuff this morning, Father, which you have given to the Word of God Church, and we pray that he continue his steadfast walk with you. Continue to use him, Lord, as he grows closer in faith, maturity, and in love. We ask that you continue to bless him and allow him to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And we pray for his wife, Sister Cuff, who shares her love for you, and ask that you, too, fill both of them with your saving grace and your peace. We pray for the Word of God Church and the Julia C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries. We pray for discernment and exposing any plans the enemy have against our church.
Well,
and that we realize that our inheritance and our hope as a church family is in God's unsurpassed and immense power. Lord, make us more sensitive to you and to one another, more conscious. Give us both humility and boldness, Father, the courage to be merciful, the endurance to be faithful to those in our care, just as you are with us, with each of us, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray for the men and women serving in the military.
Bless
them with your presence and ask that you send your angels from all corners of the earth to give them comfort and console their loved ones. We pray for those who are wounded and for those who have paid the ultimate price. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to be above us, to overshadow us, before us to guide us, behind us to protect us, and beneath us to carry us. We give you glory and honor as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for your joy and for your peace, which the world cannot give nor take away. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for changing, renewing, and making us whole through your love and grace. It is in the name of the one true and everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Deaconess Freeman. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If you have not turned to our text of the day, which is in Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4. By the way, Deaconess Freeman read from Matthew chapter 18. I want to take you up a couple of verses. You don't have to turn there, but she started at 18 and 19. I wanted to read to you from 15 down to there. It says, if your brother sins and go and show him his fault in private, if he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. And we all know that those were the things in Judaism was a no-no. Truly I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. I read that back to you because that is extremely important that you understand that God is in our midst.
Amen.
And each household that's represented on this call, each individual, God is present here with us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I have this thought that many people do not understand that, nor accept that, nor know that God is in the midst. Where two or three are gathered together in his name about his business, he's in the mix. And that's why I urge you always in your conversations with one another, change your conversation to Christ. Stop talking about babbling, as the Bible says, about earthly things, temporal things. It is more important to keep your mind set on things that are eternal. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And then you will find God will be in the mix. You see, there's a challenge for believers that we get too focused on this kingdom and the things of this kingdom. They have a tendency to block us. I back you up a little further to verse number 7 of that chain, chapter 18. It says, woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. Did you get that? Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. And that's an admonition. That's not the word. It's a warning to us that we must make sure that we are not a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Back on our text for today. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. My son, give your attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are the life of those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your feet from evil. And God bless his word in me. He fill your hearts. And I pray now that he will give you understanding of what he wants you to hear this morning. Now, before I get started, is Deacon Edison on the call? Proverbs talks about many things. And one of them is wisdom. Church, if you want to get wisdom, make sure you read Proverbs every day. Amen?
Amen.
It is not something that you might think about doing. It's something that you ought to do. And I have given you that admonition before that gets you a Bible that is a daily Bible. I have one around here. I don't know where it's at now. Or make it easy on yourself. If you open the church emails that you get daily, the devotionals, and I pray everyone on this call does, if you're not, you are being blocked by a stumbler. Come on. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Because if you don't read nothing else, you can click on Brian and get all of the scriptures. And I have anyone to bear witness to that?
Amen.
And only you know if you click on Brian. The first excuse was that Brian talks a little strange and he's got background music and water and all that. If you listen to Brian long enough, you'll get used to Brian. Because Brian is speaking the word, and that word takes precedence over everything else that might be around it. And so if you're not availing yourself of the word in all the forms and mediums that we have in front of us, I encourage you to do so. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this morning I have a task that I'm going to attempt to do that the prophets of old attempted to do, and all true who are called of God will attempt to do. And that is to advise you and give you guidance on a concept. And this concept deals with the issues of life that are come to us through our heart. And so that we start this off right, we need to further give you scriptures so that you know the significance of the heart, which in sum total could be the mind and your emotions and your feelings and your concepts and your attitudes. You see, your mind is the sum total of you, and that in turn is your heart. And so I want to make this case by giving you as many scriptures as I can that will enlighten you to this principle that I'm trying to, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the angels that are symbol above us, present to you. In our text today, we see in verse 23 that the heart should be guarded, for out of it a wellspring comes one's actions. Out of the heart comes your actions. I've talked about this before when I talked about thoughts. You see, what you think is what you are. If you think you can't, you can't. And we got a lot of can't-thinking people who claim to be believers, who claim to have faith, but they can't. I'm going to deal with some of that this morning. And when I get to it, I encourage you to take good notes because there's a word that I keep bringing up and I keep getting rebuffed on it, and that word is perfect. We can be perfect people. But we chose to find excuses for not being perfect by saying that no one was perfect but Jesus. Now, come on with me.
Amen.
And that is a fact. But Jesus went down to the grave, and he came up, and we came up with him. And so we have a newness of life, and we can be just like the one who went down and came up. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So this notion that this concept that we place things in our mind, and then as it is said in 2 Corinthians about taking captive our thoughts, we ignore that principle that you must take captive your thoughts and you must guard your heart, because that will determine your life.
Yes.
And I've been around long enough to know that this life goes by fast. You're here today and gone tomorrow. I talked to one of my sons the other day, and he is back trying to exercise because he had looked in his yearbook, and he's 42, and he has seen a lot of his buddies are dead. You see, the wellspring of life is something that we all need to take into account. No one knows the day or hour when we'll leave this plane of existence. And listen at me. The worst thing you can do is leave here and not make a difference in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I mean? People who die and they're gone and there's nothing left about them? And particularly nothing left about the Lord, because they didn't live their life for the Lord. They lived it for self. And when self leaves, it's over. Because self was nothing but a mirage to begin with. Oh, come on with me. You see, we must guard our hearts and minds. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart." Did you get that? You see, if you're storing up devious things and darkness and things that you see on TV, somebody in this church needs to take a pen and pencil and sit there and watch two or three shows and tick off every time you hear some demonic, something ungodly, or something that you should take captive the thoughts. Either that, you are engaging your thoughts in line with, bless you, the devil's desire, and that is to take you into total chaos and darkness, give you no sight of the Christ, be a stumbling block for you that you and I willingly accept and allow it to happen. The Bible says that you ought to meditate on his word day and night. You, listen to me, if you do what the Bible says, you won't have time for idle gossip. Come on with me. You want time to worry about what somebody did at work or somebody did to, and then she thinks she's cute or whatever, whatever, whatever. If you do what the word says, you'll be just what it says you'll be, peculiar people. You get to the point where things that matter to others don't matter to you. If you want to get in the kingdom, you're going to have to get to be peculiar. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of what he's stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, I can stop right there. You need to measure what's coming out of your mouth. And I know some might say, well, you know, I don't know if I got time for that. Or worse yet, you'll worry about what's coming out of someone else's mouth. Let me give you some clarity. If you're worried about the speck in your brother's eye, you cannot deal with the log in your own eye. It is not our job to tell others about what they're not doing for Christ. It's our job to show them what we are doing for Christ. Your best testimony is your walk.
Amen.
Amen, lights.
Amen.
It's not what you say, it's what you do. I need some help here this morning. You see, listen at me. The Bible says we must take captive thoughts that exalt itself, that takes itself above what the word says. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's let's deal with this and move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll read from verse 5 through verse 6, and thank you for turning there. We've been there many times. Listen to me this morning. We're in a warfare. We're in a warfare, and Ephesians 6 tells us that we got to put on full armor to fight this war. This is a serious war. The more you get knowledge of God, you start understanding you're in a war. It's a war against your mind, your heart. And from that heart springs your life. And if you want a life that is blessed, I submit to you, you must be obedient to God's word. If you want a life that's full of chaos and destruction and trouble, keep allowing the world to fill your heart. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Listen at this spiritual warfare as Paul gives it to us. And I'll start at the beginning of it. Now, I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I who am meek with face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent. By the way, that was their argument. You know, Paul talking all this crap, but Paul with his little puny-looking self, you know, he talks a lot of stuff. Wonder what he'd say if he was in our presence. The question is he in jail? No, I don't think he might be in jail, but he's in jail enough times the way it was a concern. But here, the issue here is that Paul, as displaying meekness and boldness when he speaks, listen closely. The fact of the matter is that Paul didn't have to display meekness. Let me try to give you a learning point here. It is more important to be humble than to show force. And that's what Paul was doing. It is more humbling to be quiet and lose an argument than to speak up and remove all doubt about your intelligence.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, the one who has wisdom has learned the secret is keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Don't worry about winning an argument because most of them are earthly arguments.
Amen.
And it don't count, don't matter, and ain't going nowhere. All it does is send up a message to heaven that you will stand accountable for. For he says, every word that you speak, every thought that you have, you'll stand accountable for. And I take that seriously. And I'm learning to just shut up. Thoughts that come in my mind that I don't like, I'm learning to take captive them thoughts. Not let them overcome me. Because, again, your thoughts will send you straight to hell. Back on Paul. Verse 2 says, I ask that when I present, I need not to be bold with the confidence of which I propose to be encouraged against. Some who regard us as if we walk according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Listen at me. You and I are in a warfare, and if we don't take these fortresses down, they will overtake us. You cannot allow any word or any thought or concept to come in your mind that is contrary to the word of God. Because number one, it has no power on it. The only words that have power that you and I speak are the oracles of faith. They have power. No concepts, no thoughts have faith. There was a program on Friday or Saturday. I don't know what day it is because I'm really got to the point now. I don't have to hear no television. And that's me. But it was about the race relations from Friday night, Saturday night, two back-to-back. I've been hearing that mess for the last 64 years. And ain't nothing changed. Let me hip you. You know why it ain't changed? Until man's heart turned to Christ and they change their thoughts, nothing's going to change. Well, it should be a waste of my time watching stuff. That's what you need to take captive. I don't need nobody on television to tell me what God has given me freely.
Amen.
And I don't have to listen to commercials to get it. Because what's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth sooner or later. I don't know, somewhere along the line I told you that I used to have a practice that I did to find out which one of my brothers that were prejudiced or not. You see, all I got to do is see his sister and say, boy, she look good, and we're going to find out real quick if they're prejudiced. Don't go by what they say. Watch how they walk. And if you walk with them long enough, they're going to say what's in their heart. Can I get a witness? It's a matter of dealing with a war that we're in, church, and this war, we've got to win. Divine power we have, church, to destroy fortresses. They're all around us. Attitudes. I went to Burger King, Sister Corbin, pray for me. I had double coupon. I couldn't pass that up. And here's this fortress. The guy that was taking the order, you could tell by his voice when he came over that stupid box that he had an attitude. You didn't hear a smile. You didn't feel a smile. Tell me what you want. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. They're all around us. And then you get up to the window, give him the money. He don't say that thank you, nothing. Hand me the piece of paper. I go to the next window, the lady bubbling over. Good morning, how are you? And do you need some sugar, or do you need some milk? But the brother, he's still back there in a bad fortress. Attitude.
Amen.
This lady was an older Caucasian lady, just as happy as a lark. Half of her teeth missing, she's still happy. Oh, y'all come on with me. You and I must take captive these thoughts that cause us to act like that brother did.
Amen.
See, we have to destroy speculation and every lofty thing which raises up against the knowledge of God. Listen, church, you and I have to have knowledge of God, because we can't take captive nothing. If you don't know God's word, you don't know when the enemy's kicking you in the butter and the teeth.
Amen.
And he does kick you. He can kick you with words, and you'd make decisions that you later regret.
Yeah.
Because you did not have the knowledge of God's word to make a right decision. And so your decisions you make are ungodly, and they're bound to fail.
Amen.
I don't care how many positive thinking books you read. If you don't have the wisdom of Christ in your life, you're headed for total destruction. If your heart's not turned towards the pathway of the Lord, you're heading for trouble. See, we have to take every thought captive to obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience, whatever your disobedience, to make it complete. That's one of our problems. We're afraid to say anything to anybody. People don't come to church? Well, they don't come to church. I've invited them. I'm sitting up here now and half a Word of God church ain't here, physically present. See, you cannot let the devil take away what is God's.
Amen.
Amen, lights. Thank y'all. You must stand in the gap for the word. And the only way you do that is you got to guard your heart. You know, I didn't expect that this was going to be accepted greatly, but I'm asking for prayer warriors to speak out. You see, in this text back to Luke 4, 6:45, The word heart means more than mental or emotional capabilities. It also encompasses one's values. You know, your sum totalness is wrapped up in your heart. You see, when your heart gets totally in darkness, all that you do is dark.
Yes.
You even look dark. You care less about people. The Bible says in the last days that's what's going to happen. And listen to me. How you overcome that is now the knowledge to know. And so when you know that people's hearts grow cold, don't expect nothing from them.
Amen.
Don't let them steal your joy.
Yes, yes.
You got to stand up and be counted in the presence of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Mm.
And you have the power, the dunamis power, to overcome that by taking captive those thoughts. People are no longer devoted to anything but themselves. My mother, God rest her soul, she wasn't a highly educated woman, but she had wisdom. She had the wisdom to make sure that her family was fed every day, that our clothes were neat and clean, and that my father, when he went to sit down at the table, the food was ready. And I know you say, here you go with the food. But see, if you can't feed somebody, how are you going to do anything else? Listen to me. Watch it, and you'll see. As people's hearts go cold, they will have nothing of any value for anybody but themselves.
Amen.
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 And the Bible says we must take captive that thought. We must not allow the speculation of self to overtake us.
Yes.
We have to back up and regroup. Matthew's the 6th chapter and the 21st verse says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Do not fool yourself. Whatever you focus on is where your heart is at. If 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week, we're being told in this text that you must have your heart focused on God's word, not on the television and not on mundane junk.
Amen.
Like getting to the mall for a sale. Dang, every time I walk through that mall, every store got sales. You talking about something that sets you up. You never know what the price of nothing is. Everything in there on sale. Amen, lights.
Amen.
And the lure of the sale is real. I'm getting something for nothing. Give me a break. Don't you know they've already figured that out? They know your emotions. The devil knows what moves us.
Amen.
Where your heart is where your treasures are. Only you and God know where your treasures are. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
We who are on this earth can observe things like people parking their car way out in the parking lot on an angle so nobody can ding it. But then one of these thugs will come by and steal it. Your heart and your treasures must be in heaven.
Amen.
There is no benefit to earthly treasures.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no benefit in earthly treasures. And therefore, you must keep your heart focused on heaven, our text is telling us. Your pathway, your feet must always be walking in the direction of Almighty God, which simply means you must study to find yourself approved. If you stay in this kingdom, you're going to go down in this kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Our text is giving us some clear signs that we must obey. One, we're told we have to guard our hearts. In other words, we have to watch verse 24 says, what we say. And the only way you go watch what you say is what you put in your mind.
Amen.
The older I get, the clearer I see that ignorance will destroy you. It will take you down. Ignorance is a terrible thing. They say it on the United Negro College Fund, where it said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Now, that's one thing I get them credit for. I have problems when they have their fundraising, and you have whole churches come on there with 15 people standing behind the announcer talking about, we got $500 from St. Paul Baptist Church. Then the five people standing there, they should have had $500 each. You ever watch that when they had those fundraisers? You'll see just how cheap and selfish we are. That's another subject. So you got to watch what you say, and you got to watch what you see. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you, not on the things of this world. We aren't after this kingdom, or are we? And then the dues. You see, church, we cannot get away with lip service in the kingdom. It's not going to work. Now, at this point, it is good for us to review always what we do. Proverbs 6, 17 and 18 says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. You ever notice people always come flying to you just pity-pat telling you about, child, let me tell you about Susie May or John Smith, whoever. That's feet that are running to evil. And what you and I need to do is to disarm that by taking captive thoughts that exalt itself. The Bible says that we should not what? Gossip. Thank you. We're not to be gossip or tattletales.
Amen.
You see, we in Hebrews, I love in Hebrews when it says, make it your business, make it your goal and your direction to mind your own business.
You
listen to me. If you're really focusing on Christ, you ain't got much time to worry about anybody but yourself.
Amen.
I sent y'all an email the other day, and I was, I'm always looking for responses. And I got two back. One was from Mimi, and one was from Dee. And they were short, but they were to the point. I got to try to paraphrase it the best I can, but the bottom line was, this is something and it was about how we dress. I don't know how many read that.
I didn't get them.
All right, well, I'll make sure you get it after this service is over.
Thank you.
You see, church, I do my best to lay it out for you. You got to do something with it. And trust me, before you get it, I'm getting it. For those who read it, when I walked around that mall the rest of the time, I had my mind on that subject from a godly point of view. And that's what I wrote to you about, what the word says. You see, I could have copped an attitude and took my cane and bust that guy upside his head. But God is good, I tell you. If you just follow him a little bit, he'll take the big steps.
Amen.
And that's was a big step. No one disrespects my wife. She didn't hear it, but I heard it. And he knew that was my wife. And he figured, because I'm a block behind her, that I can't do nothing. And when it came, let me tell you another secret. Get wisdom. Don't underestimate somebody that you think can't do something.
Amen.
Because if you ever watch The Hulk or Mr. Incredible, both of them are me. Now, if you want to see Arthur get kicked to the curb, let somebody mess with my wife, my children, or my children-in-law, my grandchild, or anybody in this church. I am a total different beast. But God is good.
Amen.
He rescued me from that darkness. You can't beat everybody up.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that used to be the way I operated. You got in my path, I would hook you. Because that's how I was trained and raised in Philadelphia. When I grew up, there were gangs, and the only way you survived, you had to be able to fight your way from neighborhood to neighborhood. I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but it was a terrible, dreadful way to grow up. And it ain't no better now. Y'all pray for me. My timekeeper says I got 15 minutes, and I asked her to do that, but right now, I have to work on it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all hopefully are getting this.
Yes.
We must change our hearts. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Church, measure your speech. Watch what you say. It says, store up in your hearts. Don't store up in junk in your hearts. Don't expose your heart to junk. It says to guard your heart. You need to take stock of what it is that you watch on television. First of all, you're watching the same garbage over and over and over again. And if you can't pry yourself away from it, I ask that you call me so I can pray with you. It is easy. Turn off the devil's tube. Pick up a book, the holy book. Make it the first thing you click on in the morning. Come on with me, somebody.
Amen.
Because our text tells us that you'll be blessed on your pathway. Because out of the heart comes the wellspring of life. Let me make sure you got this. You got to stay out of dark places.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you do. You and I can't go where the world goes. Every time we go there, you're going to find in some way, some shape or form, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not getting a lot of amens this morning, but I'm going to give the lights credit. Amen, lights.
Amen.
You see, you can't get away. That's one of the problems the prophets had, that the people don't want to hear the truth. They want people to feed their itching ears. Your thoughts. What do you allow to control your thoughts? Those are the things that will hurt you, I tell you.
Amen.
You cannot have perversion. And don't get this wrong. The devil will attack you.
Yeah.
I was on a computer and I have it sitting at the base of it, Skype, which is an instant messaging where if somebody comes on and I know them, you know, you can send them a quick message. Now I'm gonna show you how the devil works. You get blockers to stop these pop-ups. Now the devil, he done gone another route. Skype is only supposed to be people that you invite to come in and talk to you. If you don't want to talk to them, you say, I decline to accept you. So you know what they done? I don't know how they figured out, but they come on every day. You get this Skype up there saying, hi, I miss you. Wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And you click on it and here's all these naked women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
And now the test comes. There's no one around. I didn't bring this on. I thought it was somebody who knew me. Give me a break. The test is here. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? You know the flesh is weak. Click it off.
Amen.
Now I want to give you a point. which I'll give you two in my last 15 minutes. Point one, and this is a series of sermons, by the way. God tries our heart. You and I are tested daily. You can't go a day thinking God doesn't have his eye on you. He's watching your every move. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Listen in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with the integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Listen, church, our honesty he looks for with our intent. You and I are still in the process of being made perfect.
Amen.
But we must take accountability for our actions. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 3 says, yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Church, you can't get away with assuming that no one sees it, because God sits high and he looks low.
Amen.
I like that song that the lady used to sing. Well, I can't think of the song now, but it'll come to me. It's Mitt Beffler. God is watching from a distance.
Yeah, from a distance.
Yes, he's watching. That's a good one, isn't it? You might not think he's there, but he is always there.
Amen.
And he knows your heart, church.
Amen.
You see, we might deceive each other, and that's one of our problems. We pay too much attention to pleasing man instead of pleasing God.
Amen.
That's what takes us down. We're worried about what somebody might say about us.
Amen.
Listen to me. God is where who you better worry about what he thinks about you.
Amen.
Second Chronicles 6:30 says, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. For you alone know the hearts of men. What do? We spend time. Oh, this is unbelievable, the things we do to please people. Set out at the mall. And by the way, it's another thing. When you get wisdom, then you start getting understanding. You see, you start seeing what God says in the actions around you.
Amen.
Set at the mall the other morning, after our walk, having a cup of coffee, and I was amazed at what I saw coming in that mall. I saw women. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable what they're dressed, how they dress, what they wear. And I was just thinking about what the scripture says about that modest dress and all that. It's sad. Big women, little women, short women, tall women. I saw one lady look like a rhinoceros. She went in, out, up, down, and out in the back, and had everything on tight.
Amen.
Connie was sitting there. It was a circus. And young men that might be on this call or hear it, don't let that attract you to a woman.
Amen.
You need to look at the heart of a woman, or vice versa, the heart of a man. You see, we didn't get too far out of left field with all this. You see, we don't look at people's hearts. We look at the exterior instead of the interior. And then when you get one of these fruits, then you won't know how that happened. You did not exercise wisdom.
Amen.
Please God, not man. Jeremiah 20:12 says, O Lord Almighty, ye who examine the righteous and probe the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. And church, that's the second point I want to bring to you this morning about your heart. We must dedicate our heart to God.
Amen.
You see, that's one of the things we're not doing. Because if we were, we would be doing things totally different than we are today. You see, our thoughts aren't dedicated to Him. Our devotion, our cares, our wants, our pleasures, our time, our money, our efforts, our ideas, they're not. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that we must take captive all these things. We don't have freedom to think any way we want to think, and so we've got to guard our heart and our mind, and we have to be dedicated to Christ. First Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 says, And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, If you are turning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods, the Asteris, and commit yourselves to the Lord. Serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Church, we have to get rid of foreign gods. They're all around us. We thrive on them. We're so engrossed with them, we don't know that they're foreign gods. Well, y'all might as well say amen. You see, we've gotten so entangled in the affairs of this world that we can't distinguish divine things from earthly things. We occupy our time with earthly things. The Bible says, why do you work for things that perish? You should be working for things eternally.
Amen.
Church, God will find us when we find him. You see, we are his sheep. His resting place should be in our hearts. Listen to that. Our hearts should be focused on Christ, on his word, on his will, on his way, and not focus on the things of this world. Proverbs 23:26 says, My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. Don't fool yourself. No one's getting away with anything. None of us are. You see, we have to be obedient believers. The I Am has his eye on us, and he gives us clear directions. One, we must believe him. Two, we must love him. And three, we must obey him. You and I cannot get away with not having dedicated hearts to God. Finally, from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, I'm reading from the Living Bible. And that's why I asked Deacon Edison on the call. Oh, my people, may you live good and perfect lives before the Lord our God. May you always obey his laws and commandments, just as you are doing today. I want to pull that word perfect out. See, perfect means to be mature, full grown, to reach a specific goal or purpose. Don't deceive yourself with this notion, with this precept, that you and I cannot be perfect in God's sight. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The scriptures mandate that we can and we will. You see, you have to look at this like a child. A child that's not fully grown, but it's perfect in the state as a child. And then it grows into a teenager, and then that's his perfect state. That's what we're doing. We're going from state to state to state. The more you read the Bible, the more you become perfect. The more you don't read the Bible, the more you have excuses for not having perfection.
Amen.
The more you know the word, the less you have excuses, and the more you have perfection.
Amen.
Let me close this out. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So, 3 points I want to give you. We must have a saving perfection. Do you want to be saved? Christ's death makes it possible for you and I to be saved. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
His death has guaranteed forever the perfection or the redemption of those who set apart, he set apart for God. So in other words, Christ died to make us perfect.
Amen.
Thank you. I need to know that you got that. So that's point one. He died to make us perfect. How dare we say we can't be perfect when he died to make us perfect? No one who's unperfect will see God. So it ain't us, it's him. Point two, progression or maturing into perfection. God reveals everything that is in contrary to his purpose, and the believer is expected to clean it up. Clean up what is not perfect in God's sight. As a member of the church, the believer is being prepared for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up, mature, perfect in his sight. You and I must build each other up on the faith.
Amen.
And that's why the word says that we must come together to do what? To edify one another. To help each other. I keep saying this is not a spectator sport, where you decide when you want to come and when you don't want to come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 or 4 says that you cannot forsake the assembly of yourself together.
Amen.
As some have gotten in the habit of doing. Why? We have to lift each other up. There's a troubled world out here. Number three. We have a redemptive and a resurrection perfection. The believer's purpose and aim is to attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, we're to be made perfect because Christ in us is perfect. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I close with Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And so, somehow, to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I do what? I press to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me.
Amen.
You got that? We must work for perfection because Christ gave it to us. Christ gave us the ability to be perfect. Christ gave us that option of coming to him. You see, we must have dedicated hearts to him, church. And when we have dedicated hearts to him, we can pursue wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 2, 1 through 6 says, every young man who listens to me and obeys my instructions will be given wisdom and good sense. Yes, if you want better insight and discernment and are searching for them as you would be for lost money or hidden treasures, and then wisdom will give you and knowledge of God himself. You will soon learn the importance of the reverence for the Lord and of trusting him. For the Lord grants wisdom. Did you hear that? His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, thank you, thank you for your mercy, your grace, for your son Jesus, and for you letting us know that we do not have to live in a way that's not pleasing in your sight. I pray, Lord God, that the wellspring of our hearts will change and that we will guard our hearts that we become pleasing in your sight. Lord, let your word filter into each one of our hearts. Let us learn to walk in a way that is pleasing in your sight. For I ask these and all other blessings in the powerful and the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord and Savior, the Christ. Amen. Church, amen.
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 Amen. If you have your communion, prepare our hearts for communion. I trusted that everybody has gotten the communion cups.
Amen.
Amen.
And I thank you. I've got some very positive comments back on those. I find that it's a lot easier if we're all taking the same sacrifice or the same ornaments. Amen.
Amen.
Church, one of the ordinances that we have, which basically are two, baptismal and communion. He says, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. We don't have no choice. He didn't tell us how often, but he did say as often as you do it. You know, we can play Easter Bunny and all that other stuff. He ain't said nothing about none of that. But he Amen. Did tell us that we must take communion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so as often as we do that, and by the way, I pray that as we grow in knowledge, we'll also grow in understanding why the bishop says certain things. I was blessed. Sometimes people say things and they don't know they're blessing you. One of our dear friends had a birthday party yesterday, and the lady came by to get some of Connie's wonderful blessed ability to make things. And it was very interesting to me because Connie has this level of the devotion and dedication. And this lady bought a big shoe. I don't know what it was, but it was big. I mean, it wasn't a shoe you wear. It was what do you call it? I don't know.
Artificial
shoe. Was decorative shoe. And they wanted Connie to put flowers on it and change it to make it look like a big shoe flower. And that's what she did. Now, I couldn't have done it. And why I bring this up is because the lady said, told Connie, said, and this lady I've been knowing for, 30 years. We all sang on the choir together when we were young, and now we all old with girdles on and everything else. It's a shame how life treats you. But anyway, she said, I'm glad that Gerald's not in here because, you know, Gerald don't go for all this stuff. And I took that as a compliment. It's like they knew Gerald wasn't going to be there last night. So don't let nobody fool you. If you do what God wants you to do, it might seem peculiar, but people respect that. And that's the call on our lives. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says that so that people will respect, the outsiders will respect the way we live. Let us pray. Father God, we ask now that you bless this bread and this wine that symbolizes the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We ask that you allow it to be used for the purpose that you so dedicated it and now sanctified it. I pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, we're able to break the bread. Let us break the bread and commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we ask for your mercy and for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And after the supper, our Lord took the cup which symbolized his blood. Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. who died on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world. Father, we ask for your mercy and for your grace. We ask for your wisdom and for your knowledge. We ask for your peace and for your hope and your joy. We ask all these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen.
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 Amen. Sister Mimi, if you would give us our financial report.
We collected $118 last Sunday, so that's our total so far for April.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, amen.
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 Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the offering that has been collected last Sunday as well as from today, Lord God. We bless those who gave, those who had not to give, but the spirit of giving. We ask that it be used for the uplifting of your kingdom here on earth. We thank you. We praise your holy and righteous name. We pray again in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 God bless you all. I don't know how much time I've used, but we've come to the end of our time. I thank you for your time, and may God bless and keep you, each one of you. I pray that God has said something through his servant that will bless you and will cause you to guard your heart. And we'll continue this journey next week, and we'll get into how you know when you don't do that, because there's scriptures that tell you what happens on the other side when you don't guard your heart. Amen?
Amen.
All minds clear? Please keep Brother Joseph in your prayers. He's in Italy, and he'll be back next Saturday.
Yes.
As well as all of our members. We pray for our young people who have to go to school daily under the bombardment of sin. The devil is trying to take our children, so we must pray constantly. Amen?
Amen.
These young ladies that beat up on that girl, if that doesn't give you clarity, they didn't come out of the ghetto. You know, so that's an excuse, by the way. You see, if you have your mind turned to heaven, I don't care where you live at.
Amen.
But if your mind ain't turned to heaven, you can live in the best neighborhoods in town. You still got demons roaming.
Amen.
God bless and keep you, and we'll meet again on Wednesday for Bible study. God bless you, and have a wonderful, blessed day.
Good day, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.